Divine Parents, once again, we come to fellowship with you in this hour. We thank you for the many gifts of grace that you've brought to us, including the gift of Michael, who has not only created us and the life that we live on this world, but arrived here to be one of us and to show us how a human being can choose ideals even when they are not present currently in his own life and circumstance. He provided us with such an incredible inspirational example to try to live by. He advised us of the ways of choosing the higher and higher principles over the lower and baser aspects of this life. And even now, these 2,000 years later, we still, as a culture and as individuals, are trying to follow in his footsteps and to simply do as he was able to do here in one short lifetime. Let us all strive to be the lad, John Mark, who would hold on to the basket and who would follow the master wherever he would lead in innocence and in trust. Let us simply take the master's words and follow him, regardless of the current conditions we find ourselves in at any given time. Help us to hold steadfastly to the basket that the Master holds the other end of. Thank you. It is my honor to greet you once again. I am this one's inner presence here to respect your invitation and to respond to your request to join you in conversation about some very basic principles which have been discussed. It takes a brave individual to stand firm in alignment with their ideals against the great tide of conventional wisdom, the knowledge of the times, and the accepted approach of the family of man. Certain individuals have visions or insight as to a different way, and they at first may stand alone in their conviction. and many an individual who goes this route is derailed from this original intention by virtue of the overwhelming pressure from the other members of the tribe or family or country or planet. If they are not strong and brave to stand up against this strong tide, they are simply washed away with the swelling tone of collective awareness. But deep down inside, they may know of a certainty that their vision of an ideal state was in fact true and genuine, albeit not present in their immediate experience in a very real way. Individuals transcend time when they consider a more ideal state, a better approach, a more loving and just process. They may project themselves down this timeline to a place where thought has evolved and consciousness has been raised, and these ideal visions and principles may then exist. But every now and then, some brave individual stands firm against the tide and says, I see a new and different way. And although it is not here, I can see it in my mind's eye. I can project myself to this place. And I have this vision, which I will not let go of. When enough people share such strength and visions, they form great piers around which the tides may come and go, but their ideals will remain firmly rooted in the dimension which the visionary resides in. And many times, time must pass before collectively mankind can look back and see that these states that were considered, which were just visions and ideals, are coming closer to reality and may even come to pass in their own lifetime experience. It is so very easy to recoil from new thought and the expression of ideals as being too far afield or too unattainable, and to simply drop them because they seem hard to uphold, because you are upholding a dream. You are upholding a vision. But many times, this is the only way that a vision or a dream can be brought into what you call the real world, your immediate environment. If there were no visionaries, if there were no dreamers, if there were no Einsteins, no Michelangelos, your race would indeed move forward at a much slower pace. I encourage you all to consider the potential that within you lies a visionary, one who can travel out in front of where you reside currently and go ahead down the avenue of attainment and see what lies ahead and see what glorious achievements will be chosen in a time when it is more appropriate, and seize on these visions and these ideals and realize that the only thing that stands between you, where you are right now, and that state that you can foresee is your embrace of it. For you need not wait for all the brothers and sisters on your world to catch up with you. You may be at any stage of evolution and development that you choose. It is not required that you wait for the entire class to catch up with your vision. It is only required that you hold firmly to it. Go out beyond your current dimension and see, visualize the reality that is higher and better, the one that you would choose if it only existed, and then choose it, and it exists. It is truly that simple. It may exist at first only for you, but if you choose it and you embrace it and you live it and you believe it, you have made it real, even in your time, on your world. Don't wait for another to bring you an ideal for you to collectively rally around. Be the one in the crowd who is the point person going out on the fringes and look for the new way. Find it. It is there. It is available to be chosen. Choose it and bring it back to the others in the form of your changed life. And the conviction that you have about that which you have found. Your inner guide will help you to discern that what you find is appropriate for your path, for your state of ascension. And then be fearless and grab that which you can foresee in this state of exploration. When you seize this ideal and adopt it as your own, you transform potential into actual. And as you have been told, like attracts like in this universe. And more will be gathered unto what is good and righteous. So when you choose the righteous ideal and you adopt it and you live it and you represent it, then more will be gathered unto you. And others will see that what you have done is to bring into this dimension something from a future state of awareness and consciousness. And they will respond to your vision as you are strong enough to stand firm and represent the ideal that you can see. It may be a very small step that you take in just deciding you will change an action in your life, a behavior, a thought pattern for the better. And your decision to do that will have a ripple effect around you. And eventually, your deciding to make alternate choices will have a ripple effect. And over time, could become what you call conventional wisdom among all. You have a principle you discuss called the 100th monkey syndrome, where at first concepts are unknown to any of the members. And then, slowly, a few adopt certain concepts. And these few gather more to themselves until many adopt these concepts. And at a certain tipping point, a certain critical level, the concepts which were once just known to a single individual or a few individuals become widely known to all. This phenomenon may be used to offer your contributions to the thought stream of humanity. And they will gather to themselves more who recognize the validity of this contribution. And more will sign on to these concepts, this ideal, until there will be the reaching of a tipping point. And one day, all will embrace the validity of what started out as a lone concept, even the identification of a as yet to be embraced ideal. I would also speak to the thought stream of the value of choosing and therefore creating the paradigm in which you will function in this life. I call you to witness that individuals surround themselves with aspects in their environment, and these aspects of their choosing are then continually represented in their life experience. If one has the mindset that they are a victim of constant illness, then you will witness that they are continually a victim of constant illness. Likewise, you have witnessed ones who are the pillars of health, no matter what, even if they are affected by illness. It does not impinge on their life in anywhere near the same fashion because they have adopted a different paradigm which dictates to them that illness takes a different place in their set of circumstances and reality. Likewise, you see individuals who are constantly grappling with the same issues over and over again. People cannot find the right spouses or partners and continually choose the same wrong ones over and over again. They have created this paradigm and this belief system, which then dictates the paradigm back to them as it is repeated over and over again. At some point, most individuals on your world are so completely encapsulated in the paradigm that they have created that they can experience little else that is outside of this paradigm. They have conditioned their lives and their thought patterns to create and recreate over and over again very similar circumstances, so that they literally expect that it will happen again, and it is no surprise when it happens again. If this phenomenon is true, and I call you to witness it is observable phenomenon, then it becomes very important to monitor and closely examine your choices and thought patterns that keep you fixed in your individual paradigm. And as was mentioned earlier, if you bring the mindset of battle and war and struggle and strife as part of your paradigm, then you may expect to have as part of your paradigm battle and struggle and war and conflict. If you create for yourselves an alternate paradigm where you do not embrace those aspects, but rather replace them with a different set of your choosing, then you literally crowd out the potential for these things which are now outside of your new paradigm to influence you. There simply is no place for them in this new arena that you have created for yourself. It is possible, and it is encouraged, for you to completely reorganize and restructure your parlor, if you will, your arena of awareness, where you will actively and with intention clean house of things which you do not wish to be part of your paradigm, which are not serviceable to you. In your true goal of ascension, growth, and increasing awareness. And as you clean house, you make room for things which are serviceable to you in these higher pursuits. Thought patterns which are conducive to your goal of peace, love, truth, beauty, and goodness. If you engage in this pursuit of redefining your arena, you can, in fact, change everything about your life, because your outside life conforms to your internal arena, your paradigm of expectation becomes your experience. And so, if you would like your experience to change, you must first go within and change your paradigm and your expectations and your thought patterns. And then your life has no choice but to follow suit, for you have left no room in your new arena for thoughts of the old ways, for circumstances which are outmoded and outdated, as you have grown to understand the higher ways. But until you actively choose to restructure this inner environment, you cannot hope to significantly alter or affect your external experiences, which are simply a reflection of this internal environment. And so, if you do not approve of aspects of your life, then simply crowd them out. Make no room for them in your inner environment. And they cannot exist. Replace them with higher thoughts and ideals, universe principles that are worthy of your consideration. And in this way, with no struggle, with no conflict, you simply crowd out that which you no longer will choose. It should not be a struggle. It should not be a conflict. It should simply be the making of a new choice, which replaces an old choice, albeit an old choice which may very well be rather firmly entrenched. But every day when you rise, it is a new potential. Every hour that you are awake, it is up to you to choose again. And just because something has been present in your lives, perhaps even for a very long time, perhaps even in the lives of many who came before you, does not mean that it is suitable and right in your life, in this hour, in this time, with the vision that you have, with the awareness that you possess. You must stand firm with your awareness. You must embrace your visions and your concepts, your glimpses of better and higher ways, and bring them into this inner environment. Nurture them. And just like when you enter the dark room with a single light, it changes everything. A single new awareness illuminates many a darkened misconception. I thank you for this opportunity that you provide. I cherish the chance to commune with you in this way. And now I will honor this circumstance and step back and allow this cherished opportunity for others. Thank you. I greet you. I am Mun Johnson here as well to accept your invitation to join you in some discussion. I think I have referred to you and the likes of you out there who will read these words at a later date as a scouting party, as ones who will muster up their courage and go out ahead of the group to see what is out there and to encounter things that the others have yet to encounter. And then, having the benefit of your courage and your strength, you are willing and able to bring back your observations to the larger group. And with the conviction that you have, because you have encountered it firsthand for yourselves, you testify to the group that you have seen things that they have not. And that you have encountered them yourselves and even embraced them into your lives so that you speak with some authority on these issues. You bring back your observation as one who knows. And so it is that you are continually going out ahead of the larger group and scouting out and finding and discovering new and at the time incredible things. And it is not as though these things that you discover are not meant for all, because you know they are. They exist for the benefit of all, but they are not yet known by the group at large. They are not yet embraced as necessary by as many of your brothers and sisters as are necessary for the new idea or concept to become embraced by all, with the 100th human concept. But you are excited and inspired when you see new and incredible things that you are eager to bring back and share with the others. And it is not uncommon for you to rush back in your enthusiasm and be thwarted in your efforts to share with the group because you discover they are not quite ready to embrace this new truth or this new principle. They have yet to ascend to the level where they can embrace this truth, perhaps as readily as you can. Every human being on this planet is on their own path of ascension, at their own rate of ascension. And it is not until they are ready that it even becomes possible for them to expand their consciousness to include principles that are beyond their level of ascension. Everyone must arrive at their own levels of awareness and understanding in their own time and of their own choosing. And then, as they are ready, miraculously enough, the principles they are ready for are provided to them. And it may be ones such as yourselves who are privileged to be in a position to provide these principles that you have scouted out perhaps even years before, but have laid in waiting for those who were not quite ready for them yet. Until they are, and then they may be shared freely. In the same way that you are not all collectively at the same place, ready to all collectively understand the principles of rocket science, you are not, likewise, all in the same place, ready in awareness to embrace these loftier universe principles, either. You must be patient, tolerant, and forgiving of your sisters and brothers who are coming up to speed. And consider yourselves privileged to have had the opportunity to scout things out ahead somewhat, and to know what lies out there to be discovered. And then you may use your enthusiasm to inspire them when they are ready. But do not be discouraged that you all are not on the same page at the same time. For this is not how it works. This planet is a gigantic one-room schoolhouse where we have all grades and all levels working together in one environment. And there is no expectation that they are on equal footing with each other, but rather they are where they need to be in their individual ascension careers. In the one-room schoolhouse, it is quite common for the teachers to ask the accomplished students to help the ones who are trying to master what they have already mastered. And this may be your privilege to be able to minister to those who are taking some of the very same steps that you took earlier and accomplishing some of the very same achievements that you have mastered. So look at this experience with the awareness that all of these levels are necessary to be addressed and are quite appropriate for the individuals in these particular stations. It is not that they are behind or that you are ahead. You have simply mastered some level of achievement, and they may be mastering theirs. But a college graduate is no more perfect than a third grader. They are both exactly where they should be at their time in their learning career. And they are equally cherished and loved by their parents and instructors. I would draw my remarks to a close and allow space for any contributions or questions that might be circulating in the consciousness of the participants.
Hello, Mon Johnson. Good evening.
Hello.
On a somewhat different note, the prophet Daniel, a Jew that lived over 2,000 years ago, narrated an experience that is recorded in the Bible. He offered some prayers to God, and he did not get the answers immediately as far as he was concerned. And about 21 days later, he had an encounter with an angel or a celestial being. And this angel said to him that the very day, the very moment he prayed, his prayers were answered. And he was on his way to deliver the answers to his prayers. However, a fallen angel of darkness, a rebellious angel, hindered him or stopped him in his tracks. You know, he was coming to deliver the message to Daniel, but he was stopped by a fallen angel. And the 21-day period that elapsed was occurred because of the hindrance. However, he had to get help from someone else. In his words, he said that Michael, the prince, came and helped him to overcome the fallen prince, the fallen angel that was preventing him from delivering the message to Daniel. You know. Two questions. Number one, the prince he mentioned, Michael the prince, was he talking about Christ Michael, creator of the universe, or an archangel Michael? Then number two, what power, I believe, what power does a fallen angel have to prevent or to stop or to hinder a godly, righteous, beautiful, true and noble angel of light in carrying out his or her function, you know? These are thoughts that have been hovering in my mind for the past 2 or 3 days. I would appreciate your comment on these. Thank you.
My friend, you refer to a time in your planetary history that was most tumultuous. You have heard that there was a great war in the universe between goodness and the forces of darkness. And it is quite literally true that there was a great period in your world's history where, because of the underlying respect for the sovereignty of free will choice, much was allowed to transpire that eventuated the manifestation of large amounts of contrast. There were, in fact, malevolent beings who were choosing to experiment and manifest in ways that were, as you refer to them, ungodly. This was an act of supreme love. I understand that it may be very difficult for you to view that in the proper context, but that is the paradigm that existed. Yes, Michael was aware and had ultimate ability to control any and all aspects of this rebellion and its manifestation. But through a supreme act of love, he routinely chose to allow free will choice to remain sovereign and to not usurp the individual's rights to make their own free will choices, even ones that would be fairly easily considered ungodly. I must make the point that such is not the case at this time, that it is no longer allowed, that rebel forces may infringe their will upon individuals on this planet at this time. Michael did, in fact, put an end to these potentials. And an age closed in which such potentials were present on this world. This will be seen in context as you this world to be the supreme gesture of love that it was. But from the individual's perspective who lived in these times, it seemed evil and cruel at times to allow these spiritual beings to manifest their choices in such a way. But I assure you, Michael's plan encompassed all the wrongdoers and the ones who were wronged, and all will be turned to the right by maintaining his posture of unconditional supreme love. In a very real way, Michael was projecting his ideal that love would reign supreme, even in advance of its arrival in time and space. And in a very real example, as in the earlier discussion here, Michael held firm to his ideal that this posture of maintaining love, even in the face of apparent wrongdoing and transgression, would in the end be the right thing to do. In maintaining his posture, he has set a supreme example for all of us. And we will all grow to see that his commitment to this ideal, to this supreme principle, will, in fact, arrive one day, even in time and space. And although, from any one individual perspective, it may be claimed that it is not here, not now, Michael has chosen it, and he is representing it. And more of his children are choosing it, until one day there will be the same collective acceptance of this grand principle. And he will have served as an example for all who come after him. Fear not is what the Master said. And I promote this ideal, even now, in this moment. Fear not that you can go too wrong or be too far afield of where you should be. Only believe, trust, and have faith. And most certainly, those things which may be only in your mind's eye or in your spiritual awareness may be made real, even in time and space, if you will choose them and stand firm with your conviction. Thank you for your question.
Yeah, I thank you for your response. The second question I had concerning that occurrence was that the Prince Michael that Daniel talked about, was it Christ Michael or an Archangel Michael? Just wanted clarification on that, concerning that particular experience that Daniel had.
The Michael that I refer to is your Master Michael, your Father Michael, your Brother Michael. This personality and presence has been referenced by many, many names throughout history. And in the strictest analysis, it is not altogether important which name is used in an attempt to identify this overarching presence. But I have referred to him in this hour as your Master Michael, your Father, your Brother. I would now like to take this opportunity to close this meeting with a contribution from another at this time. I thank you for your steadfast attention to my words and these lessons. I hope they are fruitful for you as you venture out and scout around for more to bring back into your consciousness. Thank you. Hello. I have been granted a seat at the table as well. I am Light. And I come to offer a few more words on the characteristics of light and its effects on the darkness. During much of the human life, it may seem as though you are fumbling around and trying to find your way. You reach out in all directions and try to make sense of your experience. And it may seem as though you are reaching out in darkness many times. And then comes along some glimmer of light. Someone cracks the door open. Someone lights a candle. someone reaches over and flicks the light switch. And at once, everything that seemed so uncertain and unknown becomes illuminated, even by the smallest rays of light. And you will notice that your apprehension and uncertainty about being without the light is immediately dissipated, and a sense of comfort and calm may wash over you because things have been illuminated for you, and you are no longer groping in the darkness. Each one of you may be this turning on of the light in another's room of darkness. They may be seeking and searching for the light switch or the matches or the door to crack open. And you, by your very presence, may enter into their space and provide the soft glow of a nightlight. And in so doing, you bring them peace and calm. And they may then relax into their experience. The introduction of even the smallest light effortlessly and easily washes away the doubts and uncertainty and provides one with their bearings, so that they can relax into their environment and be able to see their way to navigate through their experience. Bring them this light into their darkened world without struggle, without forcing, but rather as a gentle gift that you are capable of providing. And allow them to navigate their own experience and come to you if they desire to know where you get your illumination. Let this be your privilege. Thank you, and good night to all. Farewell.